Hello, everyone. Welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees and a fun twist at the end of each episode.
So on this week's episode, we're going to be covering the Rangers and the Red Sox series, which, as we all know, the Yankees didn't drop a single game, which has been absolutely huge for what the Yankees want to do going into the postseason. Right now, the Yankees are sitting one game above the Red Sox for the first wild card. And I mean, there's not really much else you can say about it. It was a perfect series for Yankees fans, and we took care of business against the Rangers. We'll cover all of that, what we want to see going forward. And then we've got some good stuff on the MLB recap this week. There's been quite a few things just highlighting the Cardinals. A few divisions have been clinched, a great story for an ex-MLB player, and much more. So if you enjoy this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. Also, check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story. We'd love to hear from you guys. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the seventh inning stretch. So join us now for Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Ladies and gentlemen, he who breaks the rules goes back to the house of pain.
Okay, guys. So like I said earlier, we're going to start with the Rangers series. This really needed to be a sweep after we lost the Indian series. I mean, at that point, that really couldn't happen, but it did. And they left really no option but to sweep that Rangers series. And I mean, I don't know about you, but it was definitely a little closer than I would have liked. A few of the games weren't really all that close if you look at the ending score, but I think a lot of them were nail biters with some runs scored late in the game.
Yeah.
That kind of pushed us ahead.
Yeah. I mean, going into this series, we said you needed to sweep and then win the series. I wasn't feeling good about that. I know, Ryan, I know you did feel good about it, but after that Cleveland series, I was just like, come on, guys. Like, our offense was not there. Our pitching kind of got beat up. So, I mean, I figured a sweep of the Rangers, you know, we could definitely do that. But going into the Red Sox series, I did not feel like we could win that series. And the way the Yankees were playing beforehand, the way we just don't close out series, like, I felt like maybe we'll take 2 out of 3 from the Rangers, which cannot happen. We needed a sweep, and we did it.
Yeah, I mean, it was really a do or die for this team. If they didn't sweep, then they would have really, realistically, they would have had to sweep probably the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, which, I mean, just asking for that is not really that likely. Even sweeping the Red Sox, probably most people wouldn't have written that in their plans for the weekend. But, I mean, they got it done. But just recapping the Rangers series, I think the key to this series was timely home runs and hits mixed with the bullpen being absolutely lights out the whole series. Yeah. And that's what they've been all like the last while. Once we got King back, and we'll talk about him more, but we got Seve back, and now we even have Herman back. Like, we have these reinforcements that we've been waiting on all year, and they're great pitchers. So it just adds a whole nother dimension to the bullpen. We don't have to rely on the same 3 or 4 people for high leverage situations every single time. And
yeah.
So like game 1, just a quick recap of that. It was Nestor's start. He gave up 3 runs in 4.1 innings, which is
worse.
He was
in trouble all game though. So he gave up 3 runs in the 5th, but to start off that game, if he was listening to the podcast, Nestor Cortez loaded the bases and then struck out the next 3 guys.
Yeah.
So he had runners on all game. So he was flirting with disaster, and then in the 5th inning it finally got to him.
Yeah, definitely wasn't a smooth game for Nestor at all. It's not what we're used to seeing from him. But then we went Chad to Clay to Joely to Chapman. Between the 4 of them in 4.2 innings pitched, 2 hits, no runs, and 6 strikeouts and no walks. Like, I mean, you really can't ask for much more than that from your bullpen. And that's what we've been waiting on all year. That's the strength of this team, has always been their bullpen and their offense. Neither one has been extremely consistent this year, but if they're both going to get hot at the end of the year, then I mean, I think everyone will take that.
Yeah, I mean, you knew they had a lot of potential, you know, coming into the season. Their offense, everyone was raving about their offense, and then you add Gallo and Rizzo, so you figure that's going to add some reinforcement. So it just never really happened, though. They've shown flashes of it, but never any consistency. And their bullpen, like you said, like, were prone to blow-ups.
Yeah, and the offense, we only scored 4 runs, so it wasn't crazy offense. Judge had 2 hits, had 2 RBI, or had an RBI. Gary Sanchez had a home run. I mean, Glaber, 2 for 3. Glaber's really been hitting well in terms of average, but the power is still not quite there. But, I mean, his hitting for average has been heads and shoulders above what he has been doing this year.
He's gotten some more extra base hits. He did hit a couple home runs since moving to second. It seems like just moving to second has really helped him. I wouldn't say that's the cause of it, but he has looked better since moving to second. Just want to note that. And also, Cortez, where would you rank him in our pitching staff? Would you, like, is it crazy to say he's the second guy after Cole this year? Just how's he been?
Yeah, I think I would definitely put Cortez at 2 right now going into the playoffs. He's been really consistent, season ERA at 2.79. I mean, there really hasn't been many games where he's just blown up. So that's all you can really ask for. Like, Tyone and Monty have been good, but they are prone to just every now and again, they just don't have it and
get worse. I think they had higher peaks, but lower valleys than Cortez. Cortez has just been consistently good.
Yeah.
You know, gets the job done, and
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he's definitely my number 2 at this point, and having Monty and Tyone as 3 and 4 really isn't bad. Well, Tyone, we have to see what he's like coming back, but from what we've seen this year, I think I'm fine with having him as our 4th starter.
Yeah.
So game one was a little bit closer than anyone would have liked, but the bullpen came through.
It was a nail biter. We won. Yeah. I mean, we were up by 1 run from the fifth to the 9th. And, you know, our bullpen is prone to blow up. So I was like, it's not a comfortable watching that game.
Yeah. And then the next game was definitely a little bit easier. I mean, we didn't have a huge lead for most of the game. It was 4-1 going into the 7th inning, but then Aaron Judge hit a 3-run home run to really push it out of reach. Stan had a home run. Gallo had a home run. Judge hit that 3-run home run, like I just mentioned, and a double. So it was the big three, the Towers, all did what they needed to do. And I mean, if I'd like to see the stats, but it probably hasn't happened much, but I'd guarantee if all three of them homer in a game, the chances of us losing that game are very, very low.
Yeah. I was surprised that they got Montgomery some runs, just because we're used to them getting shut out or scoring like 1 or 2 runs for him. So while he was pitching, we got him 4 runs, which was like, feel like more runs than the past like 10 starts combined. And then Judge put that 3-run home run to put us further in the lead. But I was actually at this game, and Sebi came back, and that was, he got a standing ovation. You know, I saw him like warming up in the bullpen, and we were like, I go to the person that I'm with. I like tap him like, "Hey, look, Sebi's right there." It was like, so it was really awesome just seeing Sebi's first game back after what, 2 years about.
Yeah, he last pitched in the ALCS in 2019. It's been a long time for him. And this was the perfect game to reintroduce him. I mean, yesterday was a little bit close for his first game back in 2 years. This game, he came into a 7-1 lead, so the pressure really wasn't there on him. We just needed to see what he had. And he looked really good. Like, the command was a little bit off, but that's, I mean, what you would expect from he didn't even have any rehab games this time around, and his velocity was a little down, but he's had so many injuries. He needs time to ramp up.
Yeah. So that's what I was looking at at the game. Like, his slider looked filthy. It still looked filthy. He's never lost that. But I was looking at his velocity. It was 94. I think he topped out. I didn't see him top out any higher than that. So I was kind of concerned, just because, you know, Sevy's a fastball pitcher. Like, I think he led MLB starting pitchers in, like, fastball average. So
yeah.
So he's a fireball. So I was kind of concerned. But, you know, against the Rangers, you're up 7-1. I thought this was the perfect opportunity to bring him back and just let him see what he has. And he did really well.
Yeah, and I think it's important to mention King also just came in and absolutely shut them down. He should have had an immaculate inning this game, but they called a ball on a pitch that was definitely a strike. So that kind of sucks because it would have been his second one of the year.
Yeah.
But through this point in the series, the bullpen had, I think, seven or eight innings pitched, no walks, which, I mean, is exactly what they need. And this game, 3 1/3 innings with King and Sevy, 2 hits, no walks, 5 strikeouts. Again, the bullpen absolutely dominated. Monty with a good start, 5.2 innings, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. I mean, that's what you want from him. You would like to see him go a little bit longer into the game, but at least he only gave up 1 run. And the offense did what they needed to do. We go up 2-0.
So those last two games, I think, is exactly the blueprint the Yankees need in the playoffs. You know, their bullpen, just coming out of the pen, just throwing out zeros. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, just don't allow the team to score runs. That's how you win, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, I like to see that. You know, it gives me confidence in their bullpen. They're putting in those innings and they're getting outs. It's the Rangers, sure, but it's good to see.
Yeah, and moving into game three, you'll definitely see some trends continue here. Kluber pitched this game, and I'm going to be honest, I don't want Kluber to start a playoff game. He has not looked good since coming back. His stuff is not sharp. He doesn't have the control. It's not the same Kluber he saw early in the year. You can't throw him out against some of the best teams. It's just not going to go well. But today, 8 hits, 3 earned runs, only 4 strikeouts, no walks, but I mean, it's the Rangers. Like, you cannot be giving up 8 hits and 4 1/3 innings to the Rangers. And luckily, our offense again showed up. I mean, we were tied going into the eighth inning, 3-3, and we put 4 runs up in the eighth inning, which is absolutely what we needed. Gary had a 2-run home run, and that really put us ahead. But just continue on with the theme of the bullpen. This game, 4 2/3 inning pitched, no hits, no walks, 4 strikeouts. So that puts them at, what, 12 or 13 innings this series with no walks and no runs. I mean, like, that's ridiculous. You really can't ask for anything more than that.
Yeah, that's, especially it was a tied game at that point, just like in, well, I guess they were up a run when Cortez was pitching, but it was a close game. And, you know, if you fail, you know, that could be it. So they came in a high pressure situation, closed the door and got the job done.
Yeah. And that was Wandy to Clay to Chad Green to Chapman. And Green and Chapman have both looked better lately. I mean, neither of them looked absolutely dominate. Shut down, but they're definitely a lot better than some of the woes they were having lately, which is really good to see. And with that, we got the sweep. We did what we needed to do. Some of the games are a little bit too close. There's still some costly errors. Glaber had some bad plays. Gary had some bad plays. But I do think Glaber does look better. He's able to turn two. Like, when he turns two, he looks very good doing it. He looks very comfortable turning two from second base. And a lot of the plays he's been making, I think he just has a little bit more time, which allows him to be a little bit more comfortable. And I think he's definitely looked a lot better there. And that leads us into the Red Sox series, which going into this series, I know when we were talking, it was definitely we have to win this series. I don't think either of us expected to sweep, but realistically, we just needed to win because that would bring us within a game, but also hopefully give us some separation. It's also important to mention the Jays lost 2 games to the Twins, which was huge because that gives us some separation going into the Boston series. What were we, one game above the Blue Jays at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah. So winning the series would have at least probably kept that one game boost over them, but at the very least, they wouldn't pass us.
Or actually, so, no, I believe we were a half game up, and then on the 23rd when they lost, we were a full game up. Is that not what happened?
That sounds right. So the first Boston game was on the 24th. Yeah, no, yeah, I think you're right. Yep. Okay. So we going into the Boston series that day, we were one game up.
Yeah. And, but it was still huge, though, that series. You know, I mean, the joke around town was just like, oh, the Twins only exist to help the Yankees World Series odds.
Yep. Yep. And, I mean, they definitely helped it right there. And going into game one of the Red Sox game, it was Cole versus Eovaldi. Cole, our best pitcher, versus Eovaldi, the Yankee killer. I mean, I expected this to be a pitcher's duel.
Yeah,
I did not expect what happened in the first three innings to happen. I don't know if we've ever done that to Eovaldi. He gave up 7 runs in 2 2/3 innings.
And they were hitting him hard early.
Yeah, no strikeouts either.
Yeah, they were all over his cutters. It was a thing to watch. It was nice to see because, you know, we swept the Rangers, but there was still question marks about just our offense and just like, can we beat a real team? And Eovaldi was, yeah, I know you're probably thinking, oh, Eovaldi, but yeah, he is a Yankee killer. We just can't hit him. And I know Sale is probably going to be if it's Yankee Red Sox in the wild card game, it's probably Sale. But if Sale's not there, I think Eovaldi would be the guy you would throw in. And I don't think you would be wrong putting him in either.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we score 7 runs in the first three innings. Judge with a double. Stanton with a home run, a trend you definitely noticed during this series. And that gave Cole a 7-0 lead, which Cole ends this game with 6 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. And I think it's definitely fair to say if this was a closer game, you can't guarantee that he's giving up those 3 runs because he was clearly just pitching aggressively. Throwing it in the zone, just trying to get strikes because he was up 7 runs. If you give up a couple runs, it's not a huge deal. So I think he was trying to just throw strikes instead of walking, like having the chance at walking people. He gave up that 3-run home run to Devers, which it just seems like Devers is always a thorn in our butts, but he comes out of the game with a 7-3 lead. And we get a little tack on home run by Glaber, which was, he hit it dead center, about as deep of part of the park as you can, which, I mean, it's good to see that he has that power, but then
initially it was ruled a triple because it touched the fan, but they, you know, saw it in replay, called it a home run, but that gave us a little bit more insurance. I think the big key for me in that game was obviously our offense, but we got Eovaldi out in the third inning and we had to go to their bullpen early. And they didn't have Garrett Whitlock. He's on the IL. So, you know, the Red Sox, if there's an underbelly, it's their bullpen. And, you know, they got to their bullpen. And I thought that's going to hurt them in game two, game three, if they're going to their bullpen this early.
Yeah, and they used Matt Barnes for an inning and Martin Perez for 3. So they definitely used some of their better guys out of the bullpen. And speaking of bullpens, our bullpen with 3 innings pitched, no earned runs. So that's 17 innings, 16 innings straight without allowing a run. They did allow 2 walks. Shame on them. But, I mean, Clay to Wandy to Chad, it's just they've been shut down lately. Exactly what we need. We take game one. And I think with this win, winning this convincingly against Eovaldi, it probably gave this team a ton of confidence going into the next 2 games.
Yeah.
Especially considering we had Nasty Nestor going on Saturday. And
I know we had Cole, but it felt like if we lose a game with Cole, this series, there's no hope in this series. And the fact that we beat up on Eovaldi too. So now you start thinking like, okay, this is possible. You know, you have Cortez going and then you have Monty versus Erod, who the Yankees have a nasty habit of making bad pitchers look good. But, you know, you kind of like the matchups there.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Saturday game I went to, and this was my first game ever going to Fenway, and it was quite the game. And I mean, Nestor was the starter. He allowed 2 runs over 4.1 innings. He wasn't getting hit all that hard. Judge had a nice play to rob a home run. It was Fenway's super short wall, so it's not like he jumped or anything, but if he did not catch the ball, it would have been a home run. Mm-hmm. And it, like, the fun didn't really start until the end of the game.
Odor hit what would have been a home run anywhere else, just like you were saying, yeah. You know, how the Red Sox, you had that short wall, but Renfro just went there, just like grabbed it, but it was like, it looked like a home run off the bat, and just see it getting caught right there, and you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah, and the Red Sox were up 2-1 going into the eighth inning. And so I would like to talk to Alex Cora. Brett Gardner, Judge get on. Rizzo's up to bat. And Alex Cora goes to Darwinzen Hernandez, a lefty, to face Rizzo. I think the whole league at this point knows Rizzo is good against lefties, so that already wasn't a very smart move. But he walks Rizzo. Yep.
So I was going to say, when he brought him in, I texted you. I was like, wow, they're bringing in a lefty. Rizzo has, reverse splits against lefties, and Stanton crushes lefties. And when you bring in a new reliever, it was one out at that point. But unless you get the two outs, you have to pitch the three hitters.
Yep.
And I did not like that matchup at all, because it was Rizzo, Stanton, Gallo. I mean, I know Gallo's a lefty against him, so maybe that helps, but I don't know. I thought that was a bad matchup. I wasn't second guessing it. It was a first guess. I did not like the move for the Red Sox, which means I loved it as a Yankee fan.
Yeah, and it's also important to mention they had Tanner Houck. That's who they took out of the game, which, I mean, the Yankees can never seem to hit him. So he wasn't throwing strikes, so that definitely plays a part of it. But so they bring in Hernandez. He walks Rizzo. Or no, he doesn't. Did he hit Rizzo? I think he hit Rizzo. Either way, regardless. And then Stanton comes up. And Stanton had a comment after this game saying, when they asked about how he was feeling before that at bat when Rizzo was batting, and he said that the pitcher better get Rizzo out, because and Hernandez found out why the next pitch, first pitch.
So there was one out. He did hit Rizzo, but I thought if they get Rizzo out, you just intentionally walk Stanton and you bring up Gallo with the bases loaded, and I bet that was their intention. But like I said, Rizzo hits lefties, so I didn't like that. And then you have to face Stanton. That's good luck. And you said, first pitch. How was the atmosphere when he hit that grand slam,
dude? Like, I think that was the loudest the stadium got all game. There were a lot of Yankees fans there, and I gotta say, the fans at Fenway, no offense to Red Sox fans out there, but you guys got to get better at cheering at your own stadium. I mean, the loudest they got was maybe when Dahlbeck hit his home run in the ninth, but the Yankees fans get louder for a first inning strikeout than Red Sox fans at Fenway get for a home run. I mean, this Stanton grand slam, if this happened in Yankee Stadium, I think my eardrums might have ruptured because of how loud it would have been. It was pretty loud at Fenway, but I mean, the second he hit that ball, it was clear that it was very far, and it was just absolutely destroyed. It went over the sign, over the Green Monster, and the crowd just went absolutely crazy. I was going crazy. Easily the best moment I've ever seen live at a baseball game, to be at Fenway and to see Giancarlo Stanton hit a grand slam to give us the lead in the eighth inning. I mean, it just gives you chills. When I think about it, it just gives me chills. It was amazing.
I bet Hernandez is still having like PTSD with that. It sounded like a gunshot off the bat. I was like, wow, he crushed it. Like immediately, as soon as he hit it, you knew it was gone. And we were just going, I wasn't at the game, but I was watching at home and I was just going wild. So,
yeah, I mean, there, like I said, there's never been a moment I've seen live that even compares to that. I'm so glad I was at that game. Mm-hmm. But, and it's funny because they went on, they got the last out of the inning and then they played Sweet Caroline. Like, how crappy must it feel to be a Red Sox fan at Fenway, have that happen to you, and then they play Sweet Caroline and they were still singing along, which I was kind of surprised at. But we go into the ninth, and King, Licky, and Seve up to this point, great pitching, no runs. Seve had one walk but also had four strikeouts over two innings. He looked fantastic against a great Red Sox team.
This was a big test for Seve. You know, like I said, it was the Rangers, but going two innings, he looked filthy. I mean, you saw him in person. Like, he looked nasty, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike King has looked literally unhittable.
Mm-hmm.
His sinker is just absolutely disgusting. I mean, him and Seve are just huge additions to this bullpen late in the year.
I really like Holmes to King to Seve, you know, combo in the bullpen, in the bullpen. That's really good.
Yeah, and then having Wandy, Chad, Chapman, Loaizaga's coming back. Like, I mean, we have legit like seven or eight people in our bullpen that we can rely on in a high leverage situation. It's crazy. And it's exactly what we need. We needed them to come back. Chapman pitches the ninth. I mean, from my point of view and at the stadium, he looked like pretty good. Just Bobby Dalbec hit a pop fly that just got over the Green Monster. Obviously, you don't want that, but they were up by so much. I'm glad he was just throwing strikes and wasn't walking everyone.
Yeah, because that's something with Chapman. You know, he came in with a 3-run lead, so you feel good. But you can tell first batter, if he's wild, you're in for a long night. But he was throwing strikes, and Bobby Dalbec has been destroying baseballs for the last month and a half.
Yeah, so I'm okay with what Chappie did that game, because he got the win and we close out game number two with a win. I mean, this is the best win all year. I have never felt anything like that watching a baseball game before. Stan's grand slam was just absolutely crazy. I better not hear a Yankees fan ever boo him ever again as long as he plays in pinstripes. He has been so clutch this year. I saw a stat today. In late and close games, Judge has been the best hitter in the league. Stan has been five. So please stop saying they're not clutch. I can't even count on one hand or two hands the amount of times that those two have hit very clutch home runs, go-ahead home runs, late inning home runs, doubles, triples, whatever. They're our offense. They're the life of this team. If they're not playing, and then we go into game three with the chance to sweep the Red Sox in Fenway in a year that we started 0-7.
Yeah. So if we win this game, we weren't going to win the series, but you would be 10-9 against the Red Sox after starting 0-7 against them. Like, to say that, to be even close, you know, is crazy. So yeah, we would be 10-9. So if we are tied with the Red Sox in the wild card because they won the season series, they have home field advantage. So I thought it was very important just to get a game up on the Red Sox, but also to give yourself a little bit more breathing room against Toronto. Toronto already won at that point. The Yankees were the last game of the schedule, so we knew the Blue Jays won. So we wanted to maintain our 2-game lead over them.
Yeah, exactly. And it was Monty versus Erod, which, like you mentioned earlier, we tend to not hit Erod well because he's a bad pitcher. Today, or that game, was no different. 2 earned runs over 5 innings, 8 strikeouts. I mean, Monty matched him, though. 5 innings pitched, 1 run, 4 strikeouts. Both starters put up really respectable games. The difference was...
both were kind of in trouble a little bit. You know, their defense definitely helped them out, although defense came back to bite both teams in the end. But
oh yeah.
At the first part, it seemed like they were getting out of jams. So they Erod goes what, 5 innings, 2 runs, Monty 1 run. So we were up 2-1 going into
yeah. And you mentioned defensive troubles. Clay Holmes obviously had an excellent sixth inning, and that's obvious. So, and we didn't do much against Hanzo Robles in the bottom or the top of the sixth. But going
Clay Holmes, I just want to point out, 3 strikeouts, 11 pitches. You know, he looked dominant. There was some question about whether or not you send him out for the seventh. Boone brought in, who was it, Joely Rodriguez, which I questioned at the time. You know, Holmes looked really good, but, you know, I mean, I guess you bring in Joely. I mean, I don't know. I didn't like it, but I don't think it's the worst call in the world.
Yep. Yeah, and, oh, man. So, didn't we also have a wild pitch that scored a run? Oh, we had a wild pitch that got a runner to third, and then a sac fly scored a run.
Yeah. Right? So, yeah, to start the inning, they got a single off Iglesias. Then Verdugo bunts, gets him on, runners on first and second. And then there's a wild pitch by Rodriguez. And then that sets up the sac fly for whoever it was. I don't remember. Christian Vasquez.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they get a sac fly there. And then we're feeling good. I mean, you know, that kind of limits the damage a little bit. But we bring in Green to replace him. He strikes out Kike. And then he looks like he gets Kyle Schwarber dead to rights. You know, a little pop up, and DJ goes under to end the inning, just drops it.
Yeah.
And then that's not the worst of it. You know, the game continues, that bat continues. You want to explain what happened with Gallo?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're thinking Schwarber's going to do something here because DJ drops that ball, but luckily enough, Schwarber pops out to right or to left field to Gallo. I mean, Gallo's a great defensive outfielder. We're like, okay, this inning's over. And then as it got closer and closer to Gallo, you could tell that Gallo didn't quite see it, didn't quite get under it. And then Joey Gallo drops the ball. I mean, I've never seen two blatant errors. Dropped balls like that in one inning before, and that allows Verdugo to score to take the lead 3-2.
Not even in the same inning. 2 fielding errors on the same at bat.
Yeah, I mean,
crazy.
I just about lost my mind. I knew. I was like, all right, this game's over after we just did that. Like,
it's chance 3-2 we're winning at that point. So we were winning 2-1. You know, Joely kind of blows it, gives up a sac fly, but Green comes in. You think, okay, it's at least tied. You know, we feel good. You drop that ball, Gallo. Well, DJ drops that ball, and then Gallo drops that ball to allow the go-ahead run. And you're just like, oh, my God, this is terrible. How do you recover from this? Like, you can't recover from this. You know, you just swung all the momentum to the Red Sox.
Yeah, and then, I mean, going into the top of the eighth, I was not pleased. I was not very happy. But Gio leads off with a walk, and then we put Tyler Wade in. And, I mean,
what
then
was Tyler, Wade thinking?
Yeah, like, it was a 3-1 pitch to DJ. It must have been a hit and run. I don't know. Tyler Wade steals, and then for some reason, he just, like, stopped running at the end and then didn't slide and got thrown out. It was a very weird play.
The count was 3-1, so he goes to run, and then the explanation on TV was that maybe he thought it was ball 4, so he's kind of slowed down, but he kind of slid in weird. It was a very weird play. It looked ugly, and I remember I texted Ryan. I was like, did we just forget how to play baseball? What the hell? Like, this cannot happen. You know, we get a guy on, and then you get caught stealing to, like, kill everything. It looked really bad.
Yeah, I mean, it sucked. And then DJ walks, guy in first with one out. Rizzo ripped a double, 115 miles an hour. It was his hardest hit ball of his career. Came at a good time. So our setup was second and third, one out.
That was the first extra base hit by the Yankees, by either team, actually, at that point.
Yeah, and I'll let you go over what happened next with the Judge at bat.
Well, Judge had like nine lives. He was a cat. I don't know what happened. So Judge's at bat. He comes in. He pops up to Bobby Dolbeck at first, and you think, okay, that's the second out right there. Nope, he kind of just like olays it, you know, just kind of get alligator arms, misses it. Should be an out. It's not as bad as DJ's play, but it's still very bad. You can't do that as a major league first baseman. Just allows the ball to drop, gives him a second chance. And then Judge looks like he strikes out, and then the catcher drops it. Although, if you see on replay, I think he did strike out. It's a non-reviewable play, but it looked like he struck him out, and the catcher just loses it on the transfer. But they called it... he just couldn't catch the strike, so he got another at bat, and he took advantage, double to score them.
Yeah, I think it's
up 4-3.
Yeah, it's important to mention that it was a foul tip third strike, so that's just a important tidbit there. And apparently, it's not reviewable. I mean, Vasquez should have just held on to the ball for a second until the pitch was called, because if you think about it from Joe West's perspective, like he can't tell. Like, it was in real time that happened really quickly. Joe West can't tell that he just lost on the transfer. I mean, it sucks for the Red Sox. It's not reviewable, but you can't claim complete ignorance from Joe West, because there's just no way of him seeing that from behind Vasquez.
No, I think so, that's a fair point. It happened really fast. You just like, you see a foul, you hear the ball, and then you just see the catcher doesn't hold on to it. So what would Joe West think? You know, I don't think he was thinking that, you know, I don't think there was any malice behind the call. You know, he just missed it, but it's a hard call to make. So.
Yeah. And then they have an injury timeout for Judge, and my heart stopped. It seemed like, I think they were saying he just dislocated his pinky or something, and he stayed in the game, which is good. And then, I mean, so there's one out, first base is open. Stan comes up. I mean, Stan has, I think, five RBIs at this point, maybe six RBIs, I think. Wait.
No, he has four eight RBIs. He had four RBIs in game one, hit a grand slam in game two. Yeah. So he has eight RBIs at this point.
And two home runs. And I mean, I don't know why they didn't walk him. That seems like the most obvious time to intentionally walk someone when he's done that much damage to you, but they don't. Mm-hmm. And Adam Ottavino throws one of the worst sliders I've ever seen him throw right down the middle to Giancarlo Stanton, and he hits the ball 48 feet over a sign in the Green Monster. I mean, it was the most effortless 450-foot home run I've ever seen. And he had a great bat flip. Oh, and also when Judge hit that double, I haven't seen Judge show that much emotion in a long time. Mm-hmm. But he was fired up. Stanton hits the home run. It's 6-3 Yankees. I mean, this game turned around real fast, and in a way that none of us could have even dreamed of.
Yeah.
And we go, we're up.
So it started off terribly because Tyler Wade gets caught stealing. We're down 3-2, and you're just like, oh, my God, here we go again. And then it turned in a blink of an eye, you know, our offense just clicks, scores four runs for us. We're up 6-3. And if you're a Stanton hater, I mean, I don't think I think you're pretty quiet after this series. Stanton put us on his back.
Yeah, there's nothing to hate about Stanton anymore. And then Chad Green comes up. But Chad Green closes out the eighth inning. Mm-hmm. And then Chapman looked pretty good in this game and closed out the ninth. And we complete the sweep of the Boston Red Sox in Fenway, take the lead in the wild card. I mean, this is the best series we've played all year, I think, considering the circumstances. it was amazing to watch, and it sets up really good for the rest of the year. I think going into the Blue Jay series, realistically, if we just win these last two series, it's going to be very hard for any team to knock us out of the playoffs. And if we can somehow win this series and then maybe even sweep the Rays, if they're resting players, we can definitely lock down first wild card. So it's looking great right now for us.
Yeah, I mean, this is still a very huge matchup, though, but winning the series is what we need to do. You know, if we win the series, it's still not over, but you could breathe a little, you know, sigh of relief. So this is just as important as the Red Sox series, if not more important, if that makes sense. Because, you know, the Red Sox, they're in a good position, you know, even though they just got swept. You know, the Yankees and Blue Jays, they're going to get in the game somehow, you know, unless they just lose altogether. But they're going to, you know, they're letting the Yankees and Blue Jays beat each other up right now.
Yeah, and realistically, if either team sweeps in this series, it's going to end the other team's playoff chances. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Like, the Yankees will still have a chance if they get swept, but it's going to be really hard because the Blue Jays play the Orioles in their last series. Yep. So, I mean, you can't expect them to lose very many games, and we play the Rays. So, winning this series is huge. Like, this is arguably the most important series of the year, and we're just going to have to see what the team looks like going into it, and hopefully they can do what they've been doing lately and do what they need to do.
Yep. So, right now, today, we're recording on a Monday, that off day, so we're going to we don't know what's going to happen with the Blue Jays series, but it's very important.
Yeah. And is there anything else? Oh, I do want to mention Seve again. I mean, Seve got his first win in that second game of the Red Sox series, his first win in 2 years. I love that for him. He was one of my favorite players on this team, and it's mm-hmm. so good to see him back and pitching well, and he's going to be a huge weapon for us going forward. And yeah, is there anything else you wanted to talk about Yankees wise?
I was just thinking, so how do you in the playoffs, like I kind of teased it a little how you want to plan it out, but I kind of like a Seve out the bullpen, you know, piggybacking off of some starter of some kind, you know, maybe like Seve Herman, you know, some type of variation of that, just because Seve looked really good and like my expectation was just like I was shot. Like you just can't expect much from a guy that, you know, lost out 2 years of his career, but he's looked really good.
Yeah. I mean, I do like that idea, but at the same time, I think he's looked so good that like you almost need to just use him when you need to use him. I think we have four capable starters that we don't need to reserve him to piggyback. I mm-hmm. think having him learn Herman and King out of the bullpen, all his long guys is going to be invaluable to us in the playoffs. God forbid one of our starters has a bad start. Like one of those three can definitely come in and pitch two or three innings and lock it down, which I mean, that's such a valuable piece. And I think that in terms of our rotation at this point, I'm leaning Cole one, Nestor two. It depends on how Tyone looks tomorrow, but probably Monty 3, Tyone 4, but it could flip if Tyone looks good tomorrow. What do you think?
I think I agree with you. I agree with you. I think that's a good call. So,
and I am praying
we still got to win this series, you know, before we even start talking about that, you know. So,
yeah.
Hopefully next podcast we clinch a playoff berth and it's all good news, but you know, like I said, I was not expecting six in a row. That's not my expectation. You know, I really thought we would come back here and be like, yep, we're over. It's done. You know?
Yeah. And I think it's important to note when this team gets hot, they tend to get hot for a pretty long period of time. Mm-hmm. If you look at how the schedule has gone, it's pretty long periods of bad and then pretty long periods of good. So, I mean, if they get hot for 3 or 4 weeks, no one knows what's going to happen with them. So hopefully next week, like you said, we clinched the playoffs and we're in, got to win that wild card game. But I'm excited to see where it goes. And hopefully when Loaiza gets back, it means Heaney's gone because they sent down Abreu for Tyone.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I think that was a perfect segue. You know, you say the Yankees are hot. You want to talk about hot? Let's talk about what the Cardinals are doing in the wild card.
I mean, the Cardinals are the Rays of the National League. They just have black magic. I mean, the Cardinals had a 2% chance of making the playoffs 3 weeks ago. And then they're just like, you know what? I think I'm just going to go win 16 games. I mean, the franchise record in win streak, like they have 40-year-old pitchers pitching like Lester and Happ, just Wainwright, just being good. I don't think anyone expected that. They traded for Lester and Happ at the deadline and people are like, oh, the Cardinals don't really care. But I mean,
yeah, you're going to get these geriatric guys, you know, what are they going to do?
Then that shows us like pie in our face. I mean, I no one saw this coming. If you said you saw this coming, you're lying. I don't care if you're a Cardinals fan, like, but it's so cool to see though. I mean, at this point, they are 5.5 games up in the wild cards. So they pretty much have it locked down if they win one more game.
I think the magic number is one. They're going to do it. They got this wrapped up pretty much. And then I guess on the flip side, you know, who you expected to be in the wild card game, the Padres, they just, you know, wheels fell off. You know, they obviously are officially eliminated from the playoffs, but they're at 500, which I don't think anyone expected. You know, I think coming at the beginning of the season, if you told me, you know, the Dodgers could be a wild card game, the Yankees, Padres with a week left in the season might not even make the playoffs, I would be like, you're crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the Padres are 500 right now. Like, I mean, how? Like, that team is so good on paper and has just completely fallen apart. And kudos to the Cardinals. I mean, they did exactly what they needed to do to get there. And the Mets have fallen apart, which LOL Mets, like, no one cares if they fall apart. It's just expected. I'm glad Lindor got to celebrate his World Series after hitting a home run to beat the Yankees. It looks like one team's going to be on their couch.
Practice World Series in the spring training. You saw right?
Yeah. And I mean, they got to practice sitting on the couch. They get a lot of practice doing that in October. So sucks for them. I mean, the Yankees aren't guaranteed to be in right now, but at least they regularly make the playoffs.
But I mean, we haven't had a losing season in forever, so that's something.
Yeah, and then bouncing off the NL to the AL, the wild card is just as tight as it has been. There are five teams that have realistic chances. The Yankees are one game above the Red Sox, and then one game behind the Red Sox, the Blue Jays. Two games out of the wild card, we have the Mariners. Then three games out of the wild card, we have the Athletics. And it's just going to be a bloodbath. If any of these teams rattles off six in a row to end the season and the other teams lose a few, it's possible for any of these teams to make it. And so,
The Mariners and A's play each other, I think, the last series. So it's similar to the Yankees, Blue Jays. It's like if you sweep, that's, you know, puts a nail in their coffin. So, you know, you're not going to see Seattle and Oakland both make it. But, you know, if one of those teams could rattle off some wins right there, they're looking good too, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy end to the season. I cannot wait. And and I think, I mean, that's obviously a pretty good recap of the standing. It's really close to the AL, not close to the NL. Cardinals, we need one win. I mean, the NL West still isn't even decided. I think the Cardinals are two games back from the NL West. From the Giants. Yeah.
The Dodgers, you mean? Yeah.
Dodgers are two
games.
Back.
Yeah. They're two games back with, I believe, six games left.
Yeah.
Is that the math? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that one's definitely not over either. So that's going to be fun to watch. But I know you wanted to talk about a player that's done a pretty cool thing with his career. I'll let you talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, so the Indians called up a former outfielder. You know, you figure his career's done. He's, I want to see how old he is. I believe he's 32. Let me just look up his age. Yeah, 31 years old. Anthony, how do you pronounce his last name, Brian?
Gose.
Anthony Gose. Yeah, Anthony Gose. So last played for the Blue Jays as an outfielder. And then he gets called up as a reliever for the Indians, throwing 100 miles per hour. Like, can you believe that? Just, you just reinvent your whole career. And he's actually looked really good, too. You know, in the minors, he had really good stats. Let me see if I can pull up his stats.
Yeah, but while you're doing that, I completely agree with you. That's a crazy way to reinvent yourself. And, I mean, good for him. Like, that's so cool to just really change your whole career to really fight to stay in it, and good for him to make it back in.
Yeah, so in the minors he has a 0.9 ERA. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, like it's crazy to go from being an outfielder to pitcher and being that successful.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lefty too, so, you know, I know there's no longer a, you know, loogie type guy because you have the three hitter minimum, but, you know, it seems like lefty relievers always seem to clean up. You know, they always need a lefty in the bullpen, so maybe he could carve out an extra career and, you know, get some money doing this. But it's just a cool story all around, whether or not he keeps it up. But he's throwing 100 miles per hour. That's insane.
Yeah, and another thing that I wanted to mention regarding the schedule, the Phillies are only 2.5 games back from the Braves, and they start a 3-game series against the Braves tomorrow. So that division isn't over yet. If they sweep the Braves, they take the lead and then play the Marlins for the last 3 games. So that's another series to watch. Could be a crazy ending. Bryce Harper's the MVP. I don't care.
I think
his
so.
Series
yeah.
has been crazy.
Yeah, he's been amazing this year, you know, hitting above 300, you know, just hitting bombs left and right, and just really carried the Phillies team that had no right to, you know, be here. I mean, I guess the whole division kind of underperformed, but like you kind of figured the Braves, once the Mets collapsed, you figured, you know, it's the Braves division now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Phillies has clawed back and, you know, made this very interesting. So, yeah, that's another series to keep your eye out on.
Yeah, and another episode of playoff odds means nothing. The Yankees are now 81%, Sox at 87%, and Blue Jays at 27%. I think like a week ago, it was the Yankees were below 40%, and the Jays and Red Sox were at like 50%. So it's just changing every day. If the Jays beat the Yankees in a series, I'm sure their odds would be higher than the Yankees. And we'll have to see what happens. But is there anything else that you want to go over with the MLB?
Yeah. Kevin Kiermaier, the Blue Jays and Rays had some beef over the weekend, or I guess during the week, that I wanted to talk about. Did you see that? He kind of took their game plan. The catcher kind of dropped it, and then he just kind of just snatched it up. And then when they asked for it back, they was like, no, you're not getting it back. And then,
yeah,
how do you feel about that? Is that how do you feel about just taking it? You think that's cheating? Do you think it's just, you know?
I mean, it's definitely not cheating, but also I'm pretty sure those are just like scouting reports on a specific player. So like at the worst, like you learn what the other team knows about your own player. I don't.
So from my understanding was that the Blue Jays said this is how they game plan their hitters, like the Rays hitters. So they had their entire game plan there, how they're going to attack the hitters in the at-bat. And they said if there was one thing they didn't want them to have, it was that report. So oops. But yeah, the Rays got to get their hands on it. We don't know if they looked at it. Yeah, we don't know. But it was just, it seemed weird. And then the Blue Jays obviously hit him intentionally. You know,
yeah.
The pitcher kind of, you know, was like, oh, it's like, but you know what it was. The manager got suspended, but we knew it was on purpose. And then in the middle of that melee, they lose another scouting report. I don't know if it was the same one, but they also lose it. So wouldn't that be funny? You know, you're arguing about this and then you can't even, you know, keep possession of the one thing you said you don't want them to have.
Yeah. And Kevin Kiermaier said after the game, he was like, I wasn't going to go out of my dugout and run over to the other dugout once I realized what it was and hand it back. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just not going to do that. And he didn't. And I mean, it was definitely made to be a much bigger thing than it really was, I think. And at the end of the day, I don't think it's really going to have a huge impact on anything.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a funny thing to watch.
I really wanted to be upset about it because I know a lot of people were upset about it. But like at the end of the day, I really did not care. You know, like there was like, would you have high character and not pick it up or give it back? But I was like, if you see that, I'm picking it up. And in the replay, it looked really funny because I don't think Kevin Kiermaier was said like it was, he thought it was his, but I don't think that's true because if you look at his reaction, like he looked like he was like, oh, this is right here. I'm going to pick it up. Like his reaction to picking it up so sly, it was just funny to me.
Yeah, definitely. Is there anything else that we're missing?
I think a little cool oddity to note. In that Padres-Braves series, they had a doubleheader because one of their games got suspended. So there were two players that played for four teams. So Daniel Hudson was from the Nationals, went to the Padres. So because it's a resumption from a game that took place earlier in the year, in the record books, it's going to look like they played for all these different teams on the same day.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously that's not what happened, but it's still kind of cool. So Daniel Hudson and then Adam Duvall went from the Marlins to the Braves. So they all played on the same day for four different teams.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah.
And I think.
Yeah,
I think just something else I wanted to bring up was just the Triple Crown watch. I know we were watching out for Vladdy, seeing if he could get a handle on that, but it looks like, well, now he doesn't have the average, and then he never had the RBIs, or at least, you know, in the last, you know, week and a half he hasn't had it, but it looks like it's kind of out of reach. I don't think he'll reach the Triple Crown. And then Robbie Ray leads two categories, but I don't think he's going to reach the wins to get a Triple Crown. But wouldn't that be something, two guys with a Triple Crown on the same team?
Yeah, and they were so close, but I mean, Robbie Ray only has one more game, so I don't.
Yeah, and he's three wins behind Cole, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
whether or not you like wins or not, but that is a category.
Yeah, I mean, baseball has been absolutely crazy the whole last month. This last week is no different, and I'm sure the next week will be no different. This is why we love the sport, and half the reason why we have this podcast, we can just talk about all these things.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. This has been It's a Bronx Story. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks. You can check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story.
Let's go, Yankees. Let's play ball.
And the pitch. High drive. Right center. Going back. Bradley. Track. Wall. See ya! A walk-off grand slam. Teixeira, and the Yankees snatch victory from the Red Sox, and they win this one 5-3. Oh, try to understand this game. While the Yankees keep the Red Sox from celebrating on their field, the Red Sox have clinched the AL East anyway with Toronto's loss. But with a victory, they would have been dancing on this field. And the Yankees still keep their playoff hopes very slim